Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Ryback Show Live. I am the big guy, Ryback. Happy Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. Happy October. Happy Chucky season. We've got the new Chucky series coming on USA here. I think it's already, is it started or is it now? Looking forward to that. A big fan of the Chuckster with all of that. Streaming live, guys, over on Instagram and TikTok, the big guy, Ryback 22. I appreciate you guys who tune in even for a brief period for the lives on here. Streaming live as always, Ryback TV on YouTube, Ryback Rules on Twitch, and at Ryback on Twitter up for a bit. With all of that, guys, this is available on all podcast platforms. iTunes reviews are greatly appreciated if you've got a few spare moments, to go over there to leave a review. The big guy, me being the big guy, says thank you in advance. With that, this podcast is brought to you by my Feed Me More Nutrition, my premium supplement line sweetened with stevia and monk fruit. No harmful artificial sweeteners or colors. Vegan friendly for men and women, he, she, and thee on feedmemore.com. You can save 20% with discount code RYBACKSHOW20. That's 20% off with discount code RYBACKSHOW20 at the end of the checkout process on feedmemore.com. And this month also, we are also giving you guys a free bottle of our Brain Feed Memory and Focus Support. If you like Alpha Brain by Onnit, you're going to love Feed Me More Nutrition's Brain Feed. And it's not $79.99 a bottle like Alpha Brain. It's $34.99. But one bottle is yours free. It's a free gift for buying the best supplements on the planet or all the new Ryback merch. I'm wearing the Always Hungry Ryback shirt right here. We've got a ton of merch. The Only Gains is our number one seller. And guys, you could see on YouTube here, we have the store with all the supplements and all the merchandise available on the YouTube store where you could directly check out. You don't even have to go to feedmemore.com to buy the Feed Me More Nutrition supplements and all the merchandise or the accessories. So check that out here on Ryback TV, direct access for you guys on there, as well as TikTok. If you go and subscribe to my app, Feed Me More Nutrition on TikTok, you can check out on TikTok. You could literally make your purchases right there on the app, and you don't even have to go to feedmemore.com. So check all of that out, guys. Instagram will not approve me for even merchandise, even though everyone else is allowed to have merchandise. But I'm not allowed to even sell merchandise on Instagram because of the connection with everything going on with all the WWE legal stuff, which we will talk about that, I guess, a little bit. Might as well. The deposition is set for this week, and with that, and we'll see. We're waiting to see. They wanted a 2-week extension so their attorney could get married, in which we told them F off, and because they've wasted so much of my time. And I'm just sick of all the BS, and we're going to push forward. So if they don't get approved for the extension for 2 weeks, we'll be having that deposition, which I'll get to see that piece of trash face to face. They're one of their attorneys, which I cannot wait. They have to actually come to Vegas and do the deposition here. And I am going to just, I can't tell you how nice it's going to be to treat them how I'm going to treat them in person with that. And zero respect. And I will do what I have to do to get through that deposition professionally. But they are going to know that I don't like them. And I don't like anything that they represent, that pure evil. And I've been waiting for this day for some time. So looking forward to seeing you, Kurt, you cunt. That's one of the names of the Christopher and Kurt, the two cunts. But so yeah, we'll see. It might be delayed until the end of the mid end of October. But as of now, I'm ready. I've been ready, and we'll see what happens with all of that. But they've dragged their feet enough, and they'll either settle under my terms and conditions, or I'm going to win it, and it is over, and there's no talking to me. So we will we'll see what old Paulski is going to do here under their quote unquote new leadership. And but I, like I said, and I put out a tweet on it, it's like, you know, ball's in his court. I've said what I needed to say through the attorney and all that, and they've done nothing but drag their feet and again BS and lies with what they said. And as far as I've seen, nothing has changed. So we'll just handle it. We'll win it, because they are not winning it. They are losing, and they know they're going to lose, which is why they want to settle. And but we'll see how bad they really want to settle with all of it when it's all said and done. All right, guys, let's jump into the show this week. I'm in my 24-hour fast. I'll be breaking that tonight. I got to go get my shoulder worked on later. I did all my morning work. I've got my office back. I've moved everything into the podcast studio. I've got my office downstairs. I mentioned it before, because I had an office upstairs. I turned one of my guest rooms, because I have three guest rooms upstairs, and they were all three bedrooms for the dogs, but three fully furnished guest rooms. And I turned one of them into an office, and I'd watch like the UFC pay-per-views up there and all that. But I've got everything. I go, why don't I just keep everything, have my whole office and podcast studio where I can do all my work, because I do all my work in the morning, and it's a pain in the ass to go up and down the stairs with the dogs and with Sophie. And I like to be near the kitchen. I always like to have a bottle of water or a coffee or a decaf coffee, and working upstairs and then coming downstairs, and like, because the dogs, I take them to go to the bathroom, or I've got to go make food. And I'm like, this is right next to my kitchen. I've got everything, and it's more than big enough. And I've got a whole other computer desk behind me with my PC and all my work stuff. I got to bring a filing cabinet down and put that over on the side over here. But, and it's hard to see, obviously. I've always had this set up, and I've got all the podcast stuff up against the wall, which is all that I need here. And even if I had people on the show, there's more than, I've got the chairs and the microphones, and I've got the whole setup. So, but for how we do the show right now, and I was just like, this is just so much better. And plus too, and like last night I was watching too, I had a little bit of, had a few Mick Ultras last night for my wine night, was beer night, and watching some Kevin Nash Click This podcast, my favorite show by far. I could listen to that all day long. And I was just watching one from the other to the other. And I go, man, this is addictive. He's such a great storyteller, and it is such great insight on different things, and just knowing him personally and talking to him. And I'm happy he's doing the podcast, because him and that guy, the Sean Oliver, they're highly entertaining. And I recommend, if you haven't listened to the Click This podcast, free plug over here on the Ryback Show, check it out. Yes. The White Rabbit, someone saying the White Rabbit is Ryback. I'm going to, spoiler alert, guys, I am not the White Rabbit. It is just hilarious to me, because I made a thing like a week ago, and it made a few people upset. They really, really pissed off, where they sent some pretty, pretty mean messages. So I go, oh, this is going to upset some people. I'm going to put a white little rabbit in all my social media, and just keep putting it out there. And then I've noticed now, I think, of course, the dirt sheets, some of them goofs have picked up on it. And it's just funny to me. I'm literally not the white rabbit. I will never be the white rabbit. I think we all know it's not me. And, but there are some that still want to go, that like think that, like, you know, but it's just, I do things, if you've not realized, sarcasm is my second language. And, which apparently to this day, a portion, a minority of the wrestling fan marked. I haven't figured that out. So, and they just think I have a mental illness. I've seen that from, I saw a post yesterday from my tweet on my deposition where somebody goes, mental illness is no joke. And like, they're just trying to like, just, and I'm just, I looked at their thing and I go, oh, that person 100% is suffering from mental illness. And I don't think the guy that's doing everything I'm doing is suffers from mental illness, but hey, to each their own with all of that. But I'm not the white rabbit, guys. And I know some of you may think that like, oh, he's just saying that to throw us off. I'm legitimately not the white rabbit. I am simply trolling the trolls. I've heard inside sources the white rabbit is going to be I forget his name. I'm thinking of Adam Rose. I kept wanting to say Leo Kruger. It's going to be the return of Adam Rose with Bad Bunny performance. That's what it's leading up to. I've no doubt. Anybody else, it can't be. It's not Bray Wyatt. Can you imagine? Do you think people would be disappointed if Adam Rose, it was the return of Adam Rose with the Bunny and with a hit performance by Bad Bunny playing him out to the ring? Man, I'm all in. Take my money. I love Adam Rose. Leo Kruger, whatever character. He's a hell of a guy, man. I never understood. I always thought they should have done. I've talked about this before. I don't understand this. They had PJ Black, which was Justin Gabriel, and Adam Rose, Leo Kruger, on the WWE roster. They have a legitimate history together. They know each other. They got along from all accounts that I knew. They're both from South Africa. They both have cool accents. They both know how to wrestle. They both know how to work. They were both good guys. They could have had a South African tag team of these two guys together for their entire, they could have just keep them together their entire career. At some point you could split them off, but like you it's something completely unique that they've never been done before from two South African white guys as a tag team with cool accents, cool moves. I never understood. I go, that would have been the go-to of like, hey, we don't have anything like this. That all of South Africa will love these guys. You have something that represents a little bit of everything, right? Instead, like we didn't acknowledge any of it and didn't do anything like that. But hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles, as they say. But your questions, guys, super chats are brought up on the screen. Super chats are greatly appreciated. It spit it out, Junior. Contributing to the Ryback Show and my legal fund, my Starbucks coffee money, and my shoulder massage money as well. You're just contributing to Feed Me More LLC. It all is under the LLC. So it is all greatly appreciated on that. But you guys are the co-host of this show, and your questions will be answered by yours truly, health, fitness, supplementation, mindset, pro wrestling, and anything and everything in between. And I will try to TikTok and Instagram. If I do see something occasionally, the chats go pretty fast on there. I will try to get to your deal. Somebody goes, Ryback, I think WWE should reduce pay-per-view events. Excuse me. They're called premium live events. Pay-per-views, dead pal. Premium live events. Ryback, I think WWE should reduce premium live events from 8 to 12. Growing up, it was only 4. Then when Bischoff went once a month they copied. Time to reduce it again. What do you think? So you the correct thing would be reducing it from 12 to 8 is what I believe you're trying to say. And, you know, no, I like 12. And I tell you why I like 12 as a talent. And I think though, if you and it gives more people an opportunity to be featured. And I think if you look at the UFC runs the big pay-per-views once a month, right? But they have different cards everyone. You never have the same person on consecutive cards because fighters only fight two or three times a year, if that. Some of them just once a year, right? So why can't the WWE pay-per-view format stay at 12? But just here's what you got to do. You've got to actually invest storylines in other talent. And then you can, and people, it's better, creates better paydays for the talents and more interest from the fans. And it allows them to see the how many views, because people aren't necessarily buying Peacock, but they could see the views of what talents are getting on these cards. And you're going to have the certain people that will be on the majority of them, right? And I understand that. And that's pro wrestling. And I would want that, being in that role. And I was on pretty much everything. I have missed very few pay-per-view, premium live events, whatever. I was always really grateful that I was always figured in to all of that, right? But like for the most part, with that, you could use that, the 12 format, to feature different talents at various times and get a gauge on the interest based off the views of those storylines and those talents. And then you go, okay, maybe this talent, this one didn't draw as well as this, but it gives you some analytics on different people, right? Because it's really tough too with ratings and on TV, and you never, and it's really difficult sometimes to tell who's doing what off TV, even though you can off of patterns over time. Off one, a one-off is really hard to gauge, you know, like say, oh, this segment gained 500,000 viewers. Yeah, that's a plus in that, but you need to look at that, those people involved over a period of time to really see, are they really, you know what I mean? Or was it just particular that time and that segment and that group of people involved? Or, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into that, but I think using that with the premium live events and featuring different storylines and different talent, you know, hey, we've got the Bloodline deal, right? That's the biggest thing going on. But maybe the Bloodline deal, you don't want that being featured on every single one if there's not a strong enough story month to month based off what's going on. And so maybe it's, hey, you're going with this story with Dominic Mysterio in Judgment Day and Edge. But that's the featured one for the next event. And you can kind of, whatever it is. But I think that gives a way to disperse things a little bit and get some good analytics on other talents and seeing, you know, what people are buying into and what they're not. But from a talent standpoint, I, as a pro wrestler and being in support of pro wrestlers, want 12 premium live events a year because it creates bigger paydays for the talents as opposed to the 8. You're now taking away an opportunity of 8 to 9, 10 matches, depending on the event, 4 extra times a year, which is going to lower pay. Super chat. Ragov Chalwa, a Ryback Show regular. How to get on the Ryback Show? LOL. Hope you're well. Thank you very much, buddy. Yeah, I haven't had anybody. I haven't done a chat with a Rybacker here in a while, or anti Rybacker, depending on the deal. But you never know. Never say never. You never know when I'm gonna get a wild hair up my ass and want to bring somebody on. We have somebody given another spoiler alert saying that Ryback will come back at the Royal Rumble, win it, and challenge Roman. That is, you have figured out the code. You've figured it out. It's going to happen. Cody Rhodes is, everyone's going to be anticipating Cody Rhodes' return at the Royal Rumble. And we're going to get this elaborate package They're going to do the U2, It's a Beautiful Day montage with Cody, like, training and coming back from the pec tear. Everyone's going to be anticipating Cody Rhodes coming back at WrestleMania to fulfill his dream of becoming the WWE champion. And in that, they're going to get ready, and on his entrance, the music, everything, and the thing is going to come rising up with the smoke, and nothing is going to be there. And then it's going to be an awkward delay, right? And people are going to be just like, what is going on? Where's Cody? Camera cuts to the back. Oh my God, what is going on? Where's Cody Rhodes? We all have been wanting Cody Rhodes, in which we see Cody Rhodes laid out with a pool of blood in the back, and we just hear a loud smash. And then with that, we hear Fergie's Hungry, that song by Fergie, the Hungry. And it's just in a bunch of smoke, and that Hungry song is playing in the arena, and the lights fade, and everybody's confused. What is going on? What is this Hungry stuff? In which then everything quiets down. The steel cage opens like a lion ready to feast, in which we hear those three magic words, feed me more. People are losing their shit. The return of Ryback. I took out Cody. I took his spot. I'm going to WrestleMania to dethrone Roman. Screw The Rock. And then everything. And then just printing money from there. Spoiler, you have figured it out right here and there on The Ryback Show. Thank you very much for spoiling my big return, you asshole. Jesus. Can't anything keep a secret anymore in this day and age? Can we, guys? What else we got going on? Omos is trying to imitate your story, Ryback. It's very possible. I tell you, I saw Omos do the 2-on-1 handicap match. And man, I tell you, and another, it's very hard to do that once you've gone and wrestled the main roster, and then they do that, and he gets beat by Lashley, and that's all good and dandy. But then it's like they go back, and it's like they've done this with, they did it with Braun at a time too, after he was wrestling people. And then, like, even though Braun got over as Braun doing the squash matches, and they did it in a little different way with him with that. But and to go back now with Omos and to do that, I saw the 2-on-1 match on Monday with him. It's fine. I always viewed that there was a way to use my creativity to try to figure out how I could make those as much of a train wreck and do as much cool feats of strength. And because people knew I was taking on two guys half my size and whatnot, and then doing the double stack and doing that all the time, and you know, high pressured situations, but putting a massive effort into it and taking quite a bit of chances and risk very early on. And it paid off greatly with that. But I think it's like, it's when you just do those, you got to put, and he's probably just doing what he's told and whatnot, but it's a great opportunity to really do some really cool things. And you can get really, really over if you do them right. Right. And I just think, and what I saw Monday is, I don't know if that, I hope if he continues to do that, that he's able to do some creative things, being the size that he is, and cause some real destruction. He could get over if he has the right people in his ear, you know, and whatnot on it. But it's difficult to go once you've wrestled and then to go back and then to start doing that, but it's not impossible. You just have to really, really put some thought and effort into it, and get people, you can get people to forget what happened in the past pretty quickly if you can cause some pretty big destructive moments on TV. Top says, I really do wish you would come back, but I know you don't want to. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't know jack shit. I don't know if what you've been watching or what you think and what I've done to get my health back, but I'm glad that you have it all figured out and know that I don't want to go back to wrestling, even though I've said the complete opposite from day one and everything and been transparent on everything. I'm glad you've got it figured out, my man, and know that I don't want to come back to wrestling, but I'm glad you want me to. Jeez Louise, man. You tell the people straight up and they still find a way.
Oh, I know you don't want to come back to wrestling.
MJF would be more over if he had hires you as a bodyguard instead of Stokely. Stokely, I don't know, is it Hathaway? And The Firm, such a dumb group of wrestlers, someone says. Yeah, everyone has their opinion on the way that things should go. You know, you got to, I do think, you know, with AEW, and I've talked about it on the last week or two, is, and I watched a bit of Dynamite this week. You know, I really think you need to keep the same people on the show, not every week, but I think you need to put some fresh faces on here and there. I would like to see, personally, you want your stars on the show, like the people with the contracts. With, you know, I want to see Christian on the show every week. I want to see Miro on the show every week. I want to see, you know, you got MJF who's being used, you know, every week. I want to see Wardlow on the show every week. Moxley, Bryan Danielson, they're on the show. I want to see Cesaro every week. I want to see all these guys every week or the majority of weeks on the show. And outside weeks off here and there with that. But the majority of the time, you want these faces on in different ways and figuring out things to keep them on. And if I'm a talent for AEW, I want to be on Dynamite as much as possible. You know, I don't understand. I've said it again. Wardlow needs to be on Dynamite every single week. He had everything going with the MJF stuff. And it just is, I haven't seen him. I watched that show. I don't watch it beginning to end, but I go and I see, and I go, is he on the show this week? And no. Is he on the show this week? No. And I'm like, I don't. You know, you've got to have, you know, when you watch a TV show every week, you know, and I'm trying to think, you know, Game of Thrones, whatever it is, you Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, you have your main players, right? You want to see those main players in some way, shape, or form every single week with that. You don't have your stars off for a month or 2 months, and then you just pick back up. You know, it doesn't work. It does not work. And that is one thing. I'm not involved. That it's just my opinion. But you wanted to see, check some new people out. Give two random people, you know, start the show off with like WCW used to do the cruiserweight matches, right? And it would feature, hey, maybe use that as a segment for people that aren't as known. Go out and give them 15 minutes, maybe 20 on a 2-hour show, 12, 15 to go out there and go have a match and write and see and get every week, see what people are tuning into on that, get some analytics on the new people. But you can then figure out, okay, this guy, we need to maybe start trying to figure in a little bit here with that, with our big names, with the big followings on social media. Right. And then it just needs to be, I don't know, when you see people getting more TV time that people don't know than the ones that people know that have proven themselves that are not like past their prime, that are in their prime. That I don't understand. And it's not my show. I don't know what the reasoning for it could be or would be, but it seems like a lot of people aren't happy under that structure. And again, there are only so many spots, but man, if I'm paying people big money, they're on TV every week. I'm figuring out a way to sell as much merchandise, as much action figures, TV every week, plugging them plugging their stuff on social media. And like, I want those people figured in. But I just think it's a little different mentality than what we've seen. Super chat coming up here. Let me get to that super chat. Nolan Bennett, thank you very much. The 1999 super chat coming in hot, Nolan. Coming in hotter than a Nolan Ryan fastball. Good afternoon, big guy. Much respect. I am 25 years old, 6'5". You're a big guy. And over the past year, I've gone from 415 to 268 as of this morning. Congratulations. That is a monster amount of weight to lose. How should I eat and work out in order to solidify muscle-wise and shed the rest of the fat? Well, I don't know if you are working out. I would imagine you have to have obviously changed your diet drastically. And I would imagine you have to have been doing something cardio-wise or some, I don't know necessarily weight training, but cardio-wise at the least to lose that amount of weight. What I would do is, if you've not lifted weights, and I'm going here off of little information, if you could plug it more into the comments, you don't have to pay anything. I'm just, it would help. 3 to 5 days a week, depending on your schedule, getting in. And I think you need to, you know, I do have on my feedmemore.com, we have my Feed Me More maximum size and strength program with that, which is all has workouts and everything in there. And in what I have used, and there's variations from the 4 to 6 rep range to the 10 to 12 rep range on that, where you don't have to necessarily train as heavy if you're not able to or don't want to. It's just, and it outlines why that way of training works so well in the majority of people. But also the 10 to 12 rep range is same thing if you could do it, but it can be a little less stress on the joints and tendons over time. And some people, I go back and forth to give my body a break here and there on that stuff. But I would recommend, I know that that's going to give you the right guidance to get going on that. And it has different workouts and workout routines in there, which I think you could mix and match and make your own program out of that or follow it, the ones that we have. But I think you need to start going 3 to 5 days a week. You know, you want it 45 minutes to an hour if you can, on top of your cardio or conditioning. And we have cardio and conditioning stuff in there as well, the program in there with that as well. I just think you need to, everything works and nothing works. The key is going to be finding something and learning. If you need to go get a trainer, this is where, you know, you join a gym and you get a trainer for a couple months or a few months if you can, right? And learn the exercises if you've never done them. So you're by a trained professional, and hopefully you find a good trainer because there's a wide array. But usually the gyms, if you go to a major franchise gym and they have trainers, typically they should be decent to at least give you some knowledge on what to get going. And once you get to a point that you're comfortable, you don't have to use them anymore with that. But I do think trainers are very beneficial in that regard to people that just don't know or don't know where to start. And it can get you moving. And the key is going to be consistency and just going in whatever it is that you can do and growing and trying to improve upon that over time. Hello, hello, hello. What's your go-to eat spot in Summerlin? Summerlin, I went to high school at Palo Verde up there my senior year. I haven't eaten. I live about 30 minutes from Summerlin, give or take, depending on what part. I honestly don't even know. I'd have to look. Obviously now, in being plant-based and eating the majority of my food vegan outside of my eggs, I'm trying to think of restaurants that are even up there in Summerlin that I'd have to look, man. I don't know. I don't have like a favorite spot, I would say, like based off of just Summerlin. Someone says, I've been beating myself up because I'm not as strong as most members of my family. And my mom tells me not to talk like that. And that she's one of many people I've gotten my positivity from. I am thinking that way because of my mindset. I mean, yeah, I guess it depends on, and you're not as strong as other members of your family. You know, I can understand it depending how large your family is. And if you have a family like a brothers and, you know, and different things. And you're the, I guess if you're the weakest member of the family from a physical standpoint, I would say, and I don't know you, I would bet though that there are things that you probably are better at than other family members and have strengths that may be more of a weakness for them. You know, at the end of the day though, you got to be grateful that you're alive and you're healthy. And you, if you want to be stronger, that is something that you can, with good health, can improve upon. And if it's something that it, I don't think you should do it. If it's not something you truly, you know, are passionate about, I think you should train in for health and longevity purposes and for mental purposes, how beneficial that is. But I would try not to compare yourself too much to anyone for that matter. And I don't know, it is a mindset thing and it's how you approach it. And, you know, and again, if it's something that truly bothers you, I think you should train and try to improve your strength and improve your confidence and your self-esteem. But at the end of the day, then realize, even if you train and train and train and become stronger than other family members, at the end of the day, does it really matter? I don't know. Probably not, you know, and what if they're stronger and then they start working out more, then they get stronger again, right? It's just be happy with what you got. Always strive to be your best, be well-balanced and have a purpose of what you're doing. And, you know, if you want to get stronger, train to get a little stronger, but and if you're in a family where you've got family members that are very like negative and talking, this is, I don't know anything about this, but they're talking trash to you and they're making you feel bad, right? Then that's like, hey, then eventually maybe you got to get out of that environment, right? And not deal with that kind of stuff, because it's just wasted time and energy at the end of the day. And I don't know if that's the case or not, but if it's something that truly bothers you, I would work to improve your strength. And you might find that as you get stronger and that gap lessens between you and other family members, that it's not such a big deal to you. Nolan Bennett back with the super chat. Nolan Bennett coming with a $99.99 super chat. This might be the all-time record for super chats. Thank you very much, Nolan. Going straight to the Asian spa with this. Cardio and weightlifting since January, 5 days a week, has been the routine for the past year. Started at the 12 to 15 rep range, and now I've dropped to 9 to 12 for heavier weight as I would like to increase strength. Most of my knowledge is based in football workouts and YouTube. So, okay, you're doing a fantastic job. Let me just tell you that, first of all. That's another great – the fact that you're using YouTube is such a beneficial tool to people to learn, and you can – this is something I even in my program advise. If you don't know something, you could YouTube the workout, the exercise, and get see. I always advise to watch at least two or three different people when they're explaining an exercise, so that you can make sure that if they're doing it right. Whereas you don't know what kind of video you might land on the wrong one and someone giving bad advice with that. But typically, the ones that are getting the views, and you could tell if you and look at the comments and see. But I'd always watch at least a couple people whenever doing the exercises on that. But you seem to be doing everything right that I could see. You can increase too. Again, it's training to failure. And I talk about that in the Feed Me More Maximum Size and Strength program. 4 to 6 rep range is very efficient at training to failure. And I know this from personal experience. And when I was younger and using it, I put on the most muscle the quickest, and my strength goes up significantly when I train in that 4 to 6 rep range. And by that, a weight that I can't do more than 6 times, but I can at least do 4 times. And once I'm doing that rep in those reps and I'm hitting that 6 reps pretty good where I know I could go, I then move up the weight just a little bit to then where I might fall in the 4 to 5 rep range. And I'll keep it at that until my strength builds back up to the 6 and move up and doing that continuously on things. But you could do that in the 9. You could do that with any rep range. 4 to 6 is the minimum that you want to be going in. And then once you go under that, it is more primarily when, especially the 1 to 2 rep ranges, even 3, then you're working more towards like more power lifting for really just increasing strength. but you're not quite tapping into muscle failure. In form two could become an issue too when you're going so heavy with that. And the 4 to 6 rep range is always with good form on that as well. And when you do that, it works wonders. But you could do that. It's just harder to stay focused sometimes at the higher rep range. But I'm a big fan of mixing it up, specifically for your sport too, or what you're doing, because endurance training and being the muscles training under a higher rep range is also very beneficial for endurance and muscular endurance as well. But for what you're trying to do right now, I think you don't have to do the whole workout, throw in a few sets of workout of that 4 to 6 rep range, and that you'll see in the venue, you might start throwing in even more is what I would do. Ryback will get wrecked by Gunther. Thank you for that insight. I like Gunther. I like what I've seen of Gunther right now. Nolan Bennett, thank you once again, buddy. This is my second rodeo. Lost 100 pounds 5 years ago. The dumbest way. Starved myself and worked out twice a day. Doing it sustainably now. Calories around 2,000 to 2,250. Now trying to build the best me, man. Respect your knowledge and humor. Enjoy the massage, big guy. You've now, Nolan, thank you again for the $49.99 super chat. You've now paid for my massage and tip. No, thank you. So what you've done, and so Nolan, I'll tell you, you are the type of person, though, you have a stronger mindset than most people. And I like that. It's just you also, though, have fallen off, right? And you can you go hard. You have everything to do to, like, you can do it. You've done it. And it's good to know that you could do that. And that's what I tell people. If somebody gave me a 500-pound body, I would have that 500-pound body in shape. I would do everything I could, and I would make sure I would, if I had to do multiple workouts a day based off my energy levels, like, I would get that weight down in as healthy and fast as a way as possible of doing everything that I know, right, to get in shape with that. But you're like a go. There's people that can just go and they dive in, but they burn out. And two, like, that's why doing it the correct way is very, very important with that. But consistency, and it's why you got to look at it as it is being consistent more often than not. And that is where the success comes. You know, I see people and they say, and like, you do the you post like the stuff and like your routine and what you do, and it's like the same. And there are aspects of it that are the same. And that's the key to success, because it works with that, and it's doing it consistently. And I can tell the people that don't understand that. So for you, it's just getting a program now and looking at it and stick to it, do it, keep going. Hey, you fall off, you have a couple bad days. Okay, you're back on. That's, once you do that, you're in shape and you're in for the rest of your life with that. And it's just getting into that pattern of knowing that, hey, just because you fall off or get burned out with that, that doesn't mean you give up and go back the other way. And oftentimes people that struggle with weight loss and they yo-yo significantly. And I have family members that have done this. And I saw that at a young age, which is what fueled my passion for fitness, health, and fitness even more. I was like, oh, I don't want to be like that. And I could see how miserable and unhappy they are. And that is so unhealthy. So that's one of the reasons I am the way that I am, from having family members and being exposed to that at a young age and seeing that. But and I had where you go all in and you lose the weight, and then all of a sudden something happens and you go all the way and you gain it back plus some. And then, like, that it's a horrible way to live, and it's so, so unhealthy. And you got to realize that, you know, the older you get too, the harder it gets to keep getting back, to get that back. And you got to understand the stress it puts on your heart and blood pressure and cholesterol. And you want to just be as healthy as possible and find that balance where that's where I talk about, like, I do my cheat meal every week on Ryback TV. Have some balance in your life. Put the things in that give you some enjoyment, right? So you have something to look forward to. Don't cut all the good stuff of life out with that. Just keep it figured in little pieces and string together more good days than bad days with that. And you will have lifelong success with your health and fitness doing that, if you can adhere to that. And just keep going. And again, like I said, if you burn out, adjust with it. You know, if you think you're in the gym too long, man, you know, I'm very motivated and I can do huge workouts with things and, you know, but hey, you know, if you're doing 20 set workouts, I do 20 set workouts, sometimes a little more with that, sometimes 24, 25, depending on the body part, on top of my hard conditioning. And, but you know, sometimes I've had days where I'm like, man, and specifically with my shoulder where I'm like, it's not, today's not the day, but I'll, you know what I'll go do? I'll go do cardio and do the sauna. I'll go do something where, and you know, if by chance it's just not feeling at all, you know what? I'm just taking today off. I don't feel it. I wake up the next day more motivated than ever with that. And it's like, but it's not like, man, oh, I missed a workout yesterday. I'm going to miss a workout today. I'm going to miss a workout. You know, you've got to, whatever that happens, you got to be able to get back on the saddle and on the horse and keep going, man. And to nip it in the butt before it gets out of hand the other way. And consistency is your best friend, I think, the rest of the way. Ryback versus Wardlow, would you consider it? Absolutely, at the right point in time and once all this legal stuff is all over with. And it's just a matter of, we're going to wait and see. I'm not worried about anything other than finishing this legal stuff and continuing to grow my brand and business and getting my social media freed up and out of the whatever's going on with WWE and their partnerships with these companies and moving forward and being healthy and happy. But yeah, you know, I would like to see Wardlow. I wish they would do, man. I would like to see Wardlow on Dynamite every week, beating people in names. I think you could really get him, move him up. You know, I would like to see Big Show come back for a Wardlow program. You can never underestimate, you know, me getting to work with Big Show in Big Show and getting to shell shock him and Kane and Great Khali and Mark Henry, those guys, helps. It gets you over when you are able to show your strength off against larger than life opponents, you know. And I don't know if Wardlow can powerbomb Big Show or Big Show would even let Wardlow attempt, you know. Big Show is, it's such a hard move. I don't even know if it's possible, but it would be, you know, maybe there's another move he can do and get Big Show, his old finisher that he did, which was like the version of the F5, right? Something, because if you could, it would really help get Wardlow even over more. I would love to see a program with Big Show come in and try to bully him and have him fight from underneath. And I think that could really, really help get Wardlow even more over. But because there's only, you got to beat names to become a bigger name. And especially, that's just something I've noticed. I would like to see him on Dynamite every week, because he got his most over when he was on Dynamite every week. And that counts for the group of people that are all under big contracts, the other people that aren't being featured on TV every week. You got to get them on TV every week, in my opinion. Nolan Bennett, thank you again, buddy, for the super chat. I greatly appreciate it. Greatly appreciate your wisdom and warm sentiments. Which supplements would you suggest from your company that I should be taking in my position? Have a great weekend and thank you for your time, consistency, and determination. You got it, buddy. You literally, that is what it's going to be. You already know. You already know on that. And it's, I've said this quote, this was a Skip Sheffield quote from WWE, was Keanu Reeves told a group of unfortunate baseball players when they were growing up that the most important thing in life is showing up. And that was Skip Sheffield's favorite quote, because if you show up, you give yourself a chance with that. You don't show up, you stand no chance. So show up more often than not showing up, and things are going to be all right. As far as products, I mean, again, it depends on budget and what you're looking to do. I do think with the weight loss and also in being a male, and I don't know your age, but I do think if you could take the Shell Shock weight management formula and the Big Guy male performance formula, which will help raise your natural safely raise your natural testosterone, as well as your libido on that, but it will safely raise your natural testosterone and it will help. You can help you build more muscle. You're going to feel a lot better with that. Those two products, and they sell, those are two of our best sellers on that with that. And you can read the reviews on the website and on Amazon with that. The products work though. And I always tell people, don't take the supplements if you're not working out. You're doing the things you need to be doing now, where the supplements can be very beneficial. And I have people, and I've seen this and get emails from people like with the Shell Shock weight management formula. I've legitimately had people message me and say they've lost 10 to 15 pounds in a matter of weeks by adding it. And I know, because this is the stuff that I've taken, that been making since I was in my 20s and figured out on how to do stuff without the drugs to be in as the best shape possible, but as healthy as possible as well. And the supplements work if you work. So if those are two that if you could do, and if you don't want to do the testosterone booster, you don't want to, you're like, you know what, I don't want to, you do that. That the Shell Shock weight management formula, the 10 count creatine can help with strength as well as fantastic for strength. And the Iso Hungry protein, the plant powered vanilla mocha protein is been getting rave reviews from people. And it is my favorite one we've come out with on that. And it mixes like whey and it has all the amino acids with that. So those are something I would check out on that. But all the products, like everything works. It's just more of what your budget is and what you're trying to do, you know, overall. But I think for what you want with losing body fat and gaining muscle and getting stronger, the ones I mentioned would be the best bet. Let's see here. Moving on to the. Someone says, "How's your brother Skip doing?" Yeah, I know Skip and Mark for life. The three of us. They're doing well. Mark's been gone for some time. Yeah, that's why you haven't seen him on the channel. He's a massive cocaine addict, and he goes off the rails every year. He does this. He'll be back for the holidays though. And I'm sure he'll be making an appearance here on Ryback TV. Skips, well, he's in College Station out there, just living his best life. He's got a family and kids, and he's out on the ranch out there. And Skip doesn't talk to me as much. Once I went plant-based, he's of the mindset that if you don't eat steer, you're queer. And he's just, you know, he's a little more, he's all about the beef with that. So me and Skip haven't talked as much as I would like. I actually got, it's funny, I got a publication reached out. This is no joke, by the way. A publication reached out and wanted to interview me from my time as an Aggie. They thought that I've gone and graduated from College Station, Texas. And I still have the email. I've not responded. Part of me wants to respond and go do the interview. Because this person thinks that I've never even been to College Station, Texas, by the way. Never even stepped foot there. But Skip Sheffield is. But he thinks I'm Skip Sheffield. And it blew me away that somebody, and it was a long email. It was a long email. And I may just do the interview just to entertain myself. Yeah, the supplements are vegan friendly, and we just buy that. They're vegan capsules. We don't use any animal products in our formulas. And that's just something like, I think sometimes people hear like, oh, they're vegan friendly. Like it just means that like we use a plant-based capsule on that, and none of the powders or anything have any animal products in them with that. And like, it's just sometimes people will hear that and like, oh, I'm not a vegan, I can't take the supplements. No. You can take the supplements. They're just marketed so that we, as a business owner, I want everyone to be able to use my supplements, not just some people with that. Does that make sense? Listen to our band. I'll check that out. Thank you. Somebody says, please put that Skip Sheffield interview on YouTube. Yeah, I definitely... think that's something, if I do that, I have to record it. I was thinking of doing the interview as Skip Sheffield. But I'm honestly, I'm blown away that the person reached out. Like, I read the email a few times and I laughed just as hard every single time. That in 2022, I get an email to do an interview from what was it like being an Aggie and graduating from College Station. I just, the fact that that interviewer, like, I'm just thinking, like, I was like, man, I felt bad for the person, quite frankly, but maybe I'll do it. Somebody says, Billy says, your view count makes no sense. Definitely being suppressed. Yeah. It's across the platforms, and it's gone on since 2016. I've said it again, and I've posted the documents for people to see that WWE sent over two forms for me to sign over in 2016 when I walked out of WWE. They sent over two forms for me to sign over all my social media accounts. At that time, my accounts were my Snapchat, my Instagram and Facebook, and my Twitter account. And so they wanted all of those. I hadn't created YouTube yet or the other ones, but they have grabbed a hold of all of them here now. And they wanted feed me more nutrition. They wanted feedmemore.com. They wanted the rights to my podcast at the time, Conversation with the Big Guy. And they sent over an NDA form. And as you all are aware, they are notorious for sending out NDAs. And where I would not be able to even talk about that, if I would have signed over all that stuff, I would have had to go make all new accounts. I would have lost my business. I would have lost my podcast. I would have to do everything under whatever, with all brand new, that stuff that under my all personal accounts that they wanted. And when I did not sign those over or sign that NDA, they had me restricted on every social media platform that I was on, and then continued to go on over time. And there's nothing I think you guys all know, if you look at these social media companies and you've seen what's gone on the political end of things, I think we all, if you have any common sense, you could see that how corrupt things are and what is going on, and how Mark Zuckerberg has even come out and admitted that they can restrict contact. Like this is all stuff I've been saying, but a lot of people didn't know. They're like, why would they? Because they are partners with this multi-billion dollar company, and there's major money transferring hands with this, and they work together, and they do this not just with WWE, but all other different companies and for different people that they want to try to silence. And the best way they would be restricting someone is that is the best way to try to get them to disappear, because it's demoralizing and most people will give up and quit. It's all being done. It's mental warfare is what they're doing. This is WWE is known for this. They are trying to mentally fatigue me, or they tried to mentally fatigue me, to try to get me just to quit everything, to just disappear, to become so sad and depressed and become a drug addict like the majority of others, to become an alcoholic, and then need them so badly where I have to call them and go, Paul, I'm a defeated man. I need your rehab and drug, your rehab program. I have just completely lost everything. I've lost all hope. I need you guys to save me. They thrive on that, because why? They then have somebody that will be loyal to them forever that they will pay very little to, and they saved them, even though they're the ones that have caused the problems. Not going to happen with the goddamn motherfucking big guy. I can promise you that. I'll lose fucking everything. I'll go down to the fucking wire. I am in this to the motherfucking end, and I'm going to win. I fucking promise you. And so, but that is the game and what they've done, and that restriction, because perception is reality. This is something they are notorious for saying. They want me to feel demoralized, like nobody cares. But guess what? TikTok, I'm the most followed pro wrestler behind The Rock, the most electrifying man in sports and entertainment. Behind him is the most polarizing figure in sports entertainment, the big guy Ryback. They couldn't somehow, even though there's stuff going on there, that China and WWE and whatever the relationship, they have not been able to completely shut me down there where they have on all the other platforms. And that's why I post the Twitter stuff and I share this stuff, because this is all going to become out. The moment, that's why I'm so motivated to get my health back, to win this legal stuff, whether they settle or not, because I'm going to get back at some point in time and I'm going to get on the right shows. I'm going to talk about this stuff publicly on the right platforms. And it, all this information has been put out there and they're going to, people are going to be able to go back and I'm going to meet these heads of these social media companies. I am going to meet them face to face. I promise you. And it is, I am not going to, I am so motivated for this. I will fight this to the day that I'm gone on it, because what has happened to me, I wish happened to nobody with that, but they just picked the wrong person. Like I said, I look at this as an opportunity to prove my hungry mindset, to show you people all the stuff that I've overcome, not just the 19 stem cells and in avoiding a 5-disc fusion and shoulder replacement and getting my health back, but all this other game, the BS and garbage along the way, right? Just to get back. So, and it is not been easy, but I just go one day at a time and I know I'll create content. I don't care if 100 people see it. I don't care if millions of people see it. I want to be seen by millions of people, but I'm not going to stop because I have a business and I have live video paused. Oh, I apologize on the Facebook. The Facebook has stopped my live stream because real chatty Kathy. What is it? Only an hour. It hasn't been that long. Instagram, I guess, has you on a 1-hour time limit for the lives on that, but I'm not going to stop, man. And it really is unfortunate though that these people conduct business like this, and it's going to all be exposed at some point in time. Ryback, I think steroids should be legalized. And do you think steroids ever going to be legalized in the U.S.? No, I don't think they should be. I think they should be banned outside of for medicinal purposes for TRT, HRT, and outside of that, they have no business. It is cheating, and it is bad for your health. You will die young. There are no benefits to it from a health standpoint outside of medicinal purposes from that stuff. And it just simply, it creates an unbalanced playing field with people who will sacrifice their health to try to get attention or fame or whatever it is, or an advantage, a physical advantage with things. And I'm not a fan of it. I'm all for drug testing. I wish AEW had strict drug testing. It's the one thing I've said from day one. And it's actually, I'm shocked that Punk did not speak up and was more adamant about that being in that company. That is something I want them to implement personally. And like and WWE has theirs, and I would like it to be even stricter to stop people, because I know there's people that are using things that are falling outside of the testing. And like, I think it needs to be stricter, and I will stick to that till the day. Like I am special and I want to be special, and I don't want people to be able to cheat to try to be special. Billy said, Bob says, I 100% guarantee they probably expected you to give in eventually, the people suppressing you. Oh, no doubt. And I've said, that's why they no doubt. And they've reached, I'm telling you, and they've cut off my income of all my social media of what we were making on things. And they're trying to, that's why they're delaying the settlement or the Ryback trademark. They've delayed this as much as possible so that I have to keep spending money. They keep suppressing my money. The thing is, I've got my business. That's been the saving grace of this, and my savings and the things that I've put in investments and stocks and in gold and silver and everything else, and diversifying greatly with that, right? And having plans. I have backup plan A, backup plan B, C, D, E. Like, I've got stuff all figured out with this, how this rides out with that. And I'm not stopping with that. And that's what, like, I'm the type of guy, man, I've set my mind, I will not give in. It's to mentally break you. This is Vince's 48 laws of power. This is the stuff I'm well aware of that I've read, and I know how they operate. And I look at it, I go, it has just simply allowed me a chance to prove my mindset, and all of this is going to become invaluable over time. And that's it. There's going to be people that believe the lies, that want to say this, that, think I'm crazy or this and that. And I'm just like, think what you want. Those that know, and the truth is going to win, even if it takes time. And we'll see. We'll see if they want to repair the relationship, and they got to do the things that they need to do to that. And hey, we can let bygones be bygones, right the wrongs of the past, and then we can move forward. But Until that point, I'm not stopping until I either win or they agree to my settlement. My terms on their settlement. But, you know, I've got my family, and it's put my life on hold in different ways on things. I think people, and you got to understand the it could cause stress. I think I'm really good with handling a lot of this stuff and knowing things that when I do become upset, like I know the things that I need to do from all the different books and audiobooks and the different things and experience in life. And okay, let's focus on something else while this is going on. Because the social media stuff, you know, it could, you look at my Twitter. That it makes no sense. You can't. I tell people, how would I have been able to get my following if I have the engagement that I have? I never would have got that following. And my engagement, if you go back and look at the past years of what it used to be, and it's this massive drop-off, I go, you can see, and it, this massive drop-off when I was still just off of TV, you go, wait a second, that doesn't seem right. So. Did I ever get to wrestle Rob Van Dam during your WWE? I love Rob Van Dam. And I got to work him multiple times. And he is such a good guy, man. He is so fun to wrestle. He's over as can be. I wrestled him as a heel the times that we worked where he was the baby face. Super over and so easy to work with. You got to get your hands up on those kicks. And he got me. I talked about it. He got me with a kick on Raw where I actually dropped the F-bomb on Raw, because it I think it's the closest I've ever been in my entire life to being rocked. Whereas like I'm a big believer in the neck machine, and I've never had any concussions or anything, but he got me with a kick, and it got me. We kept going, didn't miss anything, but I was like, and I wasn't even mad at Rob. I was mad that I felt the kick, that like I was like, damn it. So when you've heard that from other people too. But I love him. I love that. I love that kind of stuff. And I love his style. And I wish we could have done a program together and had a good story involved, but we just had matchups, and that though was a lot of fun. And he's just a good dude, man. Good dude. Billy Bob says, don't give them another extension, man. Yeah, they're not trying to give them, they're trying to delay the USPTO. I don't know. They haven't gotten back to them yet. And the deposition is this week now, which they had to give the information. So their WWE attorney is going to have to fly out here probably early this week, probably Tuesday for the deposition. And but they did this last time. Their WWE attorney messaged 2 days before the last deposition 2 months ago. And then that's when they said that the new leadership wants to amicably settle this, and we're ready to settle this. We're asking for a 30-day extension. But if you go through with this deposition, that could greatly hurt the chances of resolving this amicably. And I go, you know what? I think it's pretty shady that they put that in there, that if I would have done that deposition, they don't want this deposition to go down because they're next. They don't have anything, like they don't have anything here. So it's that, their stuff, and then we go to decision. They're trying to delay this going to decision because they know they're going to lose. And what they're like, I don't know if they're thinking like, I'm going to like run out of money or something before we go to decision. I don't know. Like I'm good for a long time. Like, I'm like, what? Like, but it the longer it goes, the longer I stay suppressed. They just know it's like I said, it's mental fatigue. It's mental warfare to try to mentally fatigue me on things, and it's not working, and it hasn't worked, and it won't work. And so that's where I go, nope. I told my attorney, I go, we're this deposition, we're getting it set. We go, if the USPTO grants them their 2 week extension for their attorney, which is probably a lie, he's probably not even getting married. They're just looking for anything they can to try to get extensions. So hopefully the USPTO doesn't give that to them because they've had all this time already, and that we can get this over with. But what I anticipate is it's either prior to decision, the settlement will be agreed upon, in some way, shape, or form, or they're going to risk losing everything on that, in which they know they're going to lose. That's why they reached it to settle with that. But I think they were expecting like me to like want to go back so badly that I'd go back for free. And I'm not going back for free. Are you out of your goddamn mind? After everything you've done and cost me, on top of the stuff there it cost me that I've talked about numerous times? No. Right the wrongs of the past, and then we could talk about something with that. And you want the past rights to the name and all that? You got it. Right the wrongs of the past. If not, I take it all. Done. And that's that. So we'll see. Any chance of you appearing on the Rene Dupree podcast? Whenever he mentions you, he always says good things about you, and it'd be a super interesting watch. Yeah, I like Rene, and I haven't seen him or talked to him in a long time. I'm not doing any interviews or any things. And I also too, like, and that's what like Disco and them, the Keeping It 100, like told them, I'm not doing anything here till this is all over with it. And I've told my story enough, and I don't want to go on like my show. And this is overwhelmingly, I'd like to think if my stuff is positive outside and I speak the truth on the stuff that has happened and what's going on and what they've done. I'm just not like, I've got all my own stuff in my business. It gets repetitive, and I don't want to go on a thing and just have another conversation that I've had a million times. And I'm just waiting for everything to be over. I want everything to be done, and I want to go and I want to have positive conversations, you know, about what I'm doing and the focus to be on my brand and business. And once I'm back and whatever I'm doing in wrestling capacity with that, whatever program I'm involved in, I want that to be the focus, not this past stuff that I'm dealing with and have to live with on a daily basis, right? We're going to shell shock this guy out of here, even just spamming. No spamming the chat. Meat hook, shell shock. I actually picked up your carcass. Double meat hook for being annoying on that spam. Thank you very much for saying my promo on the top of the ambulance was epic. That was, brother, that was about as on the fly could get. I've told that story on here multiple times. But WWE changed Vince. They wrote that promo. I got the promo super late in the day. Pages of the promo. It was like, I think it was like 3 pages of a promo. And it was a long one. And I start memorizing the different parts that I need to know and that I can keep the flow going in my own language, but knowing the bullet points of what we need to address. And they call me into Vince's office with Vince and two of the writers, Ed, I think it was it Ed and Ed and Dave. And Ed Koski and Dave Kapoor, I believe, which I got along with those guys great. They changed the promo completely in the office, hand me pages more of a promo, literally get this promo and get rushed to the ambulance. So I'm like they're escorting me to the ambulance. I got to get in the back of this dark ambulance. I have my phone. I turn my flashlight on my phone. I'm looking at this. I hear the Raw music. I hear the sirens going. The ambulance starts moving. We already rehearsed like climbing up onto the thing. And I go, well, I'm going to have to wing this one, which no doubt was done on purpose to probably see how I would handle going out there. Right. And I just said what I felt I needed to say as a heel and hit the points. I knew the main points that I needed to make on that. And I knew that I needed to do a certain amount of time. And and Vince loved it. Vince loved the promo. It was all good feedback. It's from everything that I know. And with that, and it was probably one of the most fun moments I had in pro wrestling, because I didn't have to read the script. I had no chance to read the script. It was just, I had to go out and do it. It was sink or swim. And I'm going to be, can you imagine if I would have bombed that standing on top of an ambulance and like just trying to search for things to say? And like that could have been done to have me bomb. And I didn't. I'd like to think I hit a home run on that with that. And, but that was, you talk about an invigorating moment. That was a lot of fun for me. Just the rush, the adrenaline rush of holy shit, this is going to be crazy. So, thank you very much. I think you did best as a baby face. You seem to really feed off the crowd energy. 100%, I agree with you. I thrive. That's what I talk about my entrance. The Ryback entrance was all energy-based, of collecting the energy in the arena and injecting the energy into my body. And that's what made Ryback and that connection with the fans. That was my explanation when Vince asked. And that's why I did that entrance. That was my mindset of creating that entrance with that. So I agree with you. And I enjoy being a baby face more. I think it's truer to my real personality. But I think also, though, I'm like real life. I think I'm a very nice guy, but I don't put up with any BS with that. I think that is the best type of character for me to play, because it's truest. It's the closest to my real personality on that. But I always love being a baby face, and I love the psychology of being a baby face and listening. And I learned a lot from Cena on this, and I talk about it, and on how to listen to the crowd and use that into your advantage in a match, and how to not have to plan everything off of that, because you could use their reactions when you don't know when they're ever going to be, and using that. And that's one of the things, like crowds, if you're a baby face and the crowd is starting to really get behind you, but you're in the heat and it's not your time to come back yet, you've got to know enough to reward that crowd chanting for you and give them a hope spot that you got to fight back just enough. You got to give them something to know that those cheers, you can hear those cheers and you feed off them, and it gives you the strength that you need. But then you take it away, and then they come back and you take it away. And the longer that goes, that you could do that and keep their interest, that when finally you overcome that and their cheers are finally giving you enough energy to come back, they are now a part of that match. And it's not what you do. It's they are a part of that action now. And it's that you could do a punch can get more of a reaction than 20 flips when you do that correctly. And those that know that, and those that don't never will. And I'm very blessed that I'd learned that and had a great education on that from Cena, who it was, there was probably no one better at that than him. Ever been to the Hart House in Calgary, the Dungeon? Fan from Calgary, Canada here. No, man, I haven't. I tell you, it would be cool to go see that. I'm a big fan. Bret Hart was one of my favorites growing up. And, you know, that's what, too, like, I have my gym here and, like, my house. I have all this stuff. And, like, I spend, like, so much of my time and my energy and my hard conditioning. And I always think about, I go, man, those guys, and they had the Dungeon, that training center, and they'd lift and they'd work out. Man, just legends were created there, right? And I wish we had, like, the cameras and the footage of all the stuff. Not obviously, they probably wouldn't want everything, but like, I wish we had more footage of that from them to live on with that, because it's so historic and legendary. And but you know, a big part of the success out of that was the conditioning that they got, and that's why I'm a big believer that conditioning creates confidence, and conditioning is the key to success in so many areas of life. Somebody says, would it be possible for CM Punk to stop you from going to AEW if the possibility arose? I could imagine him phoning it in. I don't even know what the situation is going to be with him remaining in that company. With that, I think enough people now know the things, where things stand as far as like how he is. And you can only BS people for so long. And sometimes it's that Bill Cosby effect, that when you play a character and you people, they think you're that character. And sometimes the character that you play couldn't be any further from the truth. And I think people finally figured it out. And I knew it all along from what everything that I saw and how he acted, the lies that he told and whatnot. And that's why I've never swayed or backed down, because I know the truth on it. And I think finally the karma got delivered that had been building for a long, long time with things. And that's not to say, you know, I'm not worried about that right now. I know enough people, and I'm confident enough in me, in my personality, in who I am as a human being, that if once all this stuff is done and the time is right, and the ideas that I have in my head that I would like to do, the role that I would like to come back and play, the piece of business or pieces of business that I would like to get done, you know, would have nothing to do with him. And there would be, he would, if so say he is back in any way, shape or form, he would not be in any way, shape or form able to affect my business or my contracts on that. And I'm confident enough with the people that I know and the people that know me, that have spoken highly of me, that know me, that knew from my time, and there's enough of them, that I could get the meeting that I need to get, and any concerns, I think, can be easily addressed. Because anything that, whatever anyone might think, or it's not true. And so I think once they actually meet and they go, yeah, I don't think that's true. And that, and in the business that I would conduct, and they would see that it's not true. So I'm not worried. And it would be foolish of me to try to get anxious or to be, you know, to think that that is something that could happen. And like I said, I know enough people where I think there's a workaround on that. And like I said, he would have nothing to do with any of my business. We're not going to be doing anything together, right, on that end. So, my thing is, I don't think, unless a miracle happens with everything, with what's happened with them, unless that is the greatest work of all time, and they just did something on the spur of the moment after he got injured, because that's real, right? Then he's had surgery. But I don't think so, based off what I saw and how he acts and how I've seen him act. He had a meltdown that I've seen him have behind the scenes. He had on camera, and unless it was his greatest work of all time on that to create drama, but why would you do that and take all the people off TV? And I think we all know, no, I don't think that's what happened. I just don't see, I think Tony would be, I don't think it would be wise to take Punk's side over those other guys' side. I don't think that would be I don't think it'd be a good look or a good decision off of everything. And not to say that can't happen, but I don't see, unless Punk gets completely humbled again and apologizes and they're able to work that out behind the scenes, I don't see that being the case though. And I would say his time will probably be done. Yeah, Mark, great question here. This is something I've dealt with a lot. Mark says, professional wrestling is full of inaccurate reporting and gossip, more so than other forms of sport or entertainment. Why is it more prevalent in wrestling? You're 100% accurate and spot on. And what it is it's the people like the Meltzers and that the other guy, the Alvarez, and they figured out a way, and they did this. They were doing this to the guys well before there was social media in the 80s and 90s and whatever time period he started with that. That there was money in reporting negativity or drama, and that people would subscribe to whatever he had, the newsletter and the different things and the phone things and the rumors that if you report just truth and facts, that doesn't make as much money as reporting lies and drama. And so, and that's why I always say the people that go into that are the lowest form tier of human beings, in my opinion, in the world, because they are okay. Hold on one second. We're going to go ahead and do another shell shock. They are okay creating hate and negativity for other people for their profit. And that is the big issue. And in that, they report some facts on numbers. They'll report a fact on other stuff that may be going on, but they always create as much drama, and they create hate for people that they don't particularly like. They'll create lies around those people that because they don't like them for, they don't like them as a wrestler or whatever. So people have copied that format in wrestling in this day and age in social media. And you've got all these sites and all these people who call themselves fans. I don't think they're fans. I think they're like critics or they're haters. And they just, they're doing whatever they can to make money for themselves at other people's expense. And that is what I don't agree with, that form of reporting and that form of entertainment in that. And Jim Cornette does it and calls people names and hate and creates, right? In very, very hateful, negative manner. And that, but what do people do? People tune into that. But you're doing it, you're creating a lot of negative energy, a lot of negative karma doing that with that. And it's a very risky way to live life. But in wrestling, it's just so much more than in other things. It happens. And I think because in wrestling, the lines are blurred so much because of the characters people are playing and people want to believe so much stuff is real, right? With it, that like that, if you could report this stuff and people don't want to like you, that like it makes it easier for them to believe whatever piece of news they're being fed. And it's just unfortunate, man. But that's where it's crazy too. You see like people that aren't even involved in the wrestling business will get better listens and views than the people that have been in the business. Because the people typically that have been in the business, not all of them that do this, but they typically speak more honestly and about things that they know and are just, they're a little more positive at times about the things. And then you've got other people that will just create, like they're just talking trash and this and that. And people tune into it and it just creates drama and negativity. And I just think the best thing that I try to tell people is try not to consume that content because it's not healthy on that. And it's like, that's why I started creating all the content that I did when I saw the lies that were put out. I go, I'm being suppressed. My word is I got to just put out as much content as possible. And the people that follow me will know the truth, or they'll at least be able to make an intelligent decision on things as far as, like, wait a second. I don't really think that is the case. I've seen enough of him and heard him talk about enough where I really don't think that's, you know, and that was my motivation for creating massive content so people can get to know me and where it can kind of drown out some of those lies and the hate and negativity. But it is unfortunate, but you know, it exists in all sports and entertainment to a degree with it. But I think just pro wrestling, it's definitely, it's such a higher rate. And it's, again, anyone can create any content nowadays. And people too, you got somebody that creates a piece of hateful content or negative content or drama that's not even remotely true. What happens with it? That content gets recycled by all the other people. And then before you know it, you've got people, and then you've got the people that react to that content and then go to the person and react and type hateful negative messages. Right. And that's where I just say, that's why I just block, shell shock, just keep on going. I don't even want to engage with people of that mindset that are acting in that behavior. It's just wasted time and energy with it. And, you know, it's, I'm not going on Twitter or social media to get criticism from people that don't know me and that have never done anything that I've done with it. And hey, I'll take criticism from the people that I like and respect, or from people that I respect that are in the know of what I'm doing. Right. And that's what successful people do. Successful people don't take the criticism from, you just drown them out. I don't know. I'm not on here for that. I'm on here to have a good time, spread love and positivity and laughter and have a good time, man. Get that BS away from me. I don't care what you think. And that's what too, you know, like Paige is back with AEW. You know, she's been off of TV now for a good period of time. And been through a lot and with her neck and that from a psychological aspect and thinking your career is done and it may still be done. I don't know exactly if she's going to be GM or if they're going to wait and see and where she's going to be an active wrestler again with all that. And I trust that she'll make the best decision with her health possible with all of that and what's right for her and for AEW. But, you know, I watched her segment the other night. I had no problem with anything. I don't watch and like, I thought she did a great job. Yeah, she's been off of TV for a long time. And I don't think a lot of people understand there's the nerves that go into the performing. And if you're not doing that and you're back in that position with a lot of other talent out there and having back and forth, and there's a lot that goes into that stuff. And you know, she's brand new and you're around all new people. You're not back at your old workplace. You're back at a new workplace with all new different people for the most part with that, and a different environment, a different team, right? With that, I thought she did great with it. But you have people that, oh, she's this and that. And yeah, maybe she was rusty. Maybe she said she was rusty with that. But like, you're getting people that are judging and criticizing you that have never done it, that don't understand, that don't know. And that's why I say she did a great job for being off of TV and coming back into that moment and getting put out there. She's only going to get better the more promos she does and the more confidence she builds of being out there. It's not easy to be gone and be out of that limelight and to then get thrusted back into that. There's a lot that goes into it now in preparation. And I don't know what went on. And, you know, maybe the next one, and she's going to really make sure she has everything covered and like where, and like, but she'll do it because she's done it before and she's been highly successful at it with it. But like, I saw people like directing hate and just barely mean, just comment. You're just like, why would you say that, one, to the person, but to a woman that you don't even know, who's been through a lot and who, by the way, didn't do a bad job at all. Like, but it's just people want to be negative. They want to hate. They want to attack. They want to just lash out. And that's why I put out a tweet today. You know, you don't have to respect everyone you don't want to, right? I think it's a good way, decent way of life of being respectful initially. And if they don't deserve it, then just, hey, I'm not going to spend my time or energy on this person. But to go out of your way to start off disrespecting somebody that you don't even know, I'm just like, you're the problem. Why do you expect someone to want to be nice to you that you come at them with disrespect? That's your thing. And that's why there's fans and people that love wrestling, and the rest of them are marks and haters that are like, they think they're fans. They're not. They're just haters of people. And if you watch, go to their profiles. All they're doing is talking trash to people of all genres, all different sectors of life, all different areas, from politicians to actors to sports stars to pro wrestlers. Go, you'll see. And that's like, I'll see when somebody is talking trash to another wrestler, and I click, and they're already blocked by me. And I go, this is how they live their life. Oh, you suck, this and that, this, boom, block, go on to the next one. And it's just a way for them to distract themselves, to take the focus away from their lives and hold themselves, their accountability and responsibility for their lives. And it's a horrible way to live, but hey, that's their problem, not mine with that. And that's why block, shell shock. Figure it out on your own, make a new account, come apologize 5 years later. Hey, have it happen all the time. Cool. New start. Let's go. Do it again. Block, shell shock. Not going to waste my time. Hello. Another shell shock. I heard a small clip of Benoit in the sumo squats. Yeah, Benoit was really big on I learned that from Deep South Wrestling with Bill DeMott and the Hindu squats. And I got to train with Benoit, and we had to do like 1,000 Hindu squats with him one time. And in Deep South Wrestling, I'll never forget that day. You want to talk about legs being fried and then having to do 8 hours of training after that. Because I had a 4-hour class, hour break, and do another 4-hour class. Intense. But that is a way. Hindu squats are very beneficial for endurance. And the psychology behind Hindu squats for wrestling is that you never want your legs to get heavier, to get jelly-like, and to fatigue. That, so no matter how tired you get, as long as your legs never give up, where your legs are like giving out from under you, one, you'll be able to keep going, you'll be able to keep wrestling, and two, you won't be dangerous to you or your opponent. And I'm a very big believer in, when I'm wrestling, I do every week, I would do like more like wall squats, and I still do them to this day with all my conditioning and my Stairmaster and all my jump rope and everything, burpees. But do you be able to bust out, you know, a good amount of Hindu squats or wall squats? I'm a bigger fan of wall squats now for the form, and your legs will always be under you. Billy Bob says, why does YouTube allow trolls to create new accounts? Yeah, I know. It is frustrating that they don't have a way, you know. I think, you know, Instagram and Facebook, when you block someone, it blocks them from creating new accounts actually too and following you. I wish YouTube would implement that technology. It would be very beneficial. I wish Twitter would as well, because I could always tell that when, by the way that someone types, I could say, oh, they made another account. Hello, hello. Good to see all of you. Love from India. Thank you. We've got Scotland, India, a lot of different countries. Always visiting the Ryback Show. Let's see here before we wrap up today's show. Seeing if we got a... I did not quit wrestling. I'm just simply finishing my legal stuff with WWE. And winning my Ryback trademark, and while getting my shoulder to exactly where I need it to be while this is remaining, and then it will be game on. British Columbia, Oklahoma, hello. Good to see all of you guys. Appreciate all the love and support over on TikTok, guys. We are approaching 3.4 million followers on there, and looking forward to continue to grow. Ryback TV, we are moving up very slowly, continue to grow. You guys, please turn on... the notifications on, and please subscribe if you have not subscribed on this channel. Though, to get the notifications, you have to make sure you click the bell to receive all notifications on this channel. Otherwise, YouTube will not notify you of all the videos. So you got to turn all the notifications on for this channel to get the Ryback Show, the Feeding Time, or the Ryback Show clips with that. And it is greatly, greatly appreciated. And also, guys, save 20% on my Feed Me More Nutrition premium supplement line and all the Ryback merch. I'm wearing the Always Hungry shirt here. You can save 20% with discount code RYBACKSHOW20. That's RYBACKSHOW20 on feedmemore.com. You can also get a free bottle of our Brain Feed Memory and Focus Support. If you like Alpha Brain by Onnit, you're going to love our Feed Me More Nutrition Brain Feed. Absolutely free. Just select it as your free gift. It will be added to your order. You'll see that in your cart on your purchases on feedmemore.com. With that, guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. I got a lot I got to get done here this weekend. Always appreciate all your love and support and for joining me here on the Ryback Show. Tune in every Saturday for a new edition of the Ryback Show, and you'll get the Ryback Show clips throughout the week and a new Feeding Time each and every week of my plant-based food reviews and conversation. Every Monday, typically around 9 a.m. Pacific time for here on Ryback TV for the Feeding Time videos. All right, guys, let's have a great weekend. Be safe, stay strong, stay healthy. And until next time, my friends, stay hungry. Feed me more. More.